मधाव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाबा गिरीवनदारी जय गोपी जन बाला गिरीवन दारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तेरा बनचारी जमुना तेरा बनचारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बाला गिरिवन दारी जय गोपी जन बाला गिरिवन दारी जय यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तेरा बनचारी जमुना तेरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabhajakacharya Asutara Sutasisi Madhya's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, second chapter, text 53. Vivad Hiranya Gabascha Karanam Chetyupadayaha Ishasya Yatribhihinam Turiyam tat prachaksate Viradhiranya garbascha Karanam chet yupadayaha Ishashaya tribihinam Turiyam tat prachaksate Viradhiranya garbascha Karanam chetyupadyaha Ishashayatribhinam Turiyam chat prachakshate. Garbhajasya Karanam Chetyupadayaha Tibirhinam Turiyam Tat Prachakshate Vivadhiranya Garbhascha Karinam Chetyupadayaha Ishasya Yatrabirhinam Turiyam Tat Prachakshate. Any ladies? Viradhiranya Garbascha Karinam Chetyupadayaha Ishasya yatribhihinam Turiyam chat prachakshate Viradharanya garbascha Karanam chetyupadayaha Ishasya yatribhihinam Turiyam chat prachakshate. Translation. In the material world, the Lord is designated as Virat, Hiranyagarbha, and Karana. But beyond these three designations, the Lord is ultimately in the fourth dimension. Purport is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Virat, the phenomenal manifestation of the Supreme Whole. Hiranyagarbha, the numinous soul of everything. And Karana, the cause or causal nature, are all but designations of the Purushas, who are responsible for the material creation. The transcendental position surpasses these three designations and is therefore called the position of the fourth dimension. This is a quotation from Sridhar Swami's commentary on the 11th canto, 15th chapter, verse 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam. You can repeat the translation. In the material world, the Lord is designated as Virat. Hiranyagarbha and Karana. But beyond these three designations, the Lord is ultimately in the fourth dimension. Omagana Timirandasya Ginandana Salakaya Chaksulan Malitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Patandikam Vanchakopa Tirubhischa Kripa Sindhubhya Evicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. At first there's a little worm here. I have a few other selections I wanted to read in this regard. Let's see if I can find. These are all from the first canto. First one is a purport from the second chapter, 30th verse. The position of the Lord is always transcendental because the causal and effectual energies required for the creation of the material world were also created by him. He is unaffected, therefore, by the qualities of the material modes. His existence, form, activities, and paraphernalia all existed before the material creation. He is all spiritual and has nothing to do with the qualities of the material world, which are qualitatively distinct from the spiritual qualities of the Lord. In the 8th chapter, Kunti Devi says, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in text 27, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no direct connection with material activities. All his acts and deeds, which are exhibited even in the material world, are spiritual and thus unaffected by the modes of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that all his acts, even his appearance and disappearance in and out of the material world, are transcendental. And that one who knows this perfectly shall not take his birth again in this material world, but will go back to Godhead. In the 10th chapter, the first canto, it said, O dear friends, here is that very personality of Godhead whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of Vedic literature by his great devotees. It is he only who creates, maintains, and annihilates the material world, and yet remains unaffected. And then in a purport, the 11th chapter, text 38, Srila Prabhupada says, even his learned devotees are not affected by the influence of the material modes. The great six Goswamis of Vrindavan all came from greatly rich aristocratic families. But when they adopted the life of mendicants at Vrindavan, superficially they appeared to be in wretched conditions of life. But factually, they were the richest of all in spiritual values. Such Mahabhagavatas, or first-grade devotees, although moving amongst men, are not contaminated by honor, by insult, by hunger, or satisfaction, sleep or wakefulness, which are all resultant actions of the three modes of material nature. Similarly, some Mahabhagavats are engaged in worldly dealings, yet are unaffected. Of course, Srila Prabhupada here is speaking from first-hand knowledge. Of course, he never says himself. He says, because Prabhupada, of course, was engaged so many worldly, seemingly worldly activities. Unless these neutralities of life are there, one cannot be considered situated in transcendence. The divinity and his associates are on the same transcendental plane, and their glories are always sanctified by the action of yoga maya, or the internal potency of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord are always transcendental, even if sometimes they are sometimes found to have fallen in the behavior. This is declared in Bhagavad Gita. Even an unalloyed devotee is found to be fallen to a previous material contamination. He is nevertheless to be accepted as fully transcendental because of his being engaged 100% in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord protects him always, and because of his rendering service unto him, and the fallen conditions are to be considered accidental and temporary. They will vanish in no time. Srila Prabhupada, he would often talk, of course, about the six Goswamis and their position. Srila Prabhupada, the other day I saw a photo. We see even at Radha Damodar Temple, if you go there, you see Prabhupada's kitchen, you see Prabhupada's sitting room. All looks very nice, painted nicely. Now there's an air conditioner in there. Even it's a small room, it looks very attractive. But if you see a photo when Srila Prabhupada went there in the early 1960s, you'll see, just like he's describing here, the six Goswamis. It was not a very attractive place. Very small, paint coming off the walls, concrete coming off the walls. But Prabhupada was in that situation, completely transcendental. I was trying to think so much how to describe Prabhupada as being unaffected by the three modes of nature. I asked Radha Ballava Prabhu, everything you could say, anything about Srila Prabhupada. There's always been a problem for me. When I was with Srila Prabhupada, sometimes on his Vyas Puja, he would have his disciples speak, glorify him. I would sit right there and I would think, I hope he doesn't ask me. I don't know what to say. It should have been so easy for me. 24 hours a day I was seeing his transcendental nature. Being completely in the modes of material nature, I couldn't recognize it. Still to this day I don't recognize. I understand I'm very much covered. All one has to do is see how they react, even within the temple. We see the devotee comes around with the lamp, with the fire. Sometimes those they consider themselves senior devotees, it goes to someone first, they'll be offended. This is not transcendental position. Most of us have heard the story of Ganesyam Prabhu, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Early on in New York, Brooklyn, New York, 1971, he felt that distinction, being black-bodied. And within the temple, sometimes there would be one, two devotees, dark bodies. Everyone else, not like today, everyone, white-complected, Caucasian. I went to a school. There were 5,000 students in high school, 4 years. Every year had 1,000 young men in it. Out of 5,000 students, one person was black. So this was the culture there in America at that time. Segregation was there. Ganesyam Prabhu, he felt that. So he went to Srila Prabhupada when he had the opportunity and said, these devotees, some of these devotees, they're not on this transcendental plane. They're affected by the modes of nature. Modes of nature, they're affecting all these activities. They're treating me differently, as if I'm inferior, given this body. Within our temples to this day, women very easily can feel that same situation constantly in the temple. Anywhere in the world, what to speak of in this part of the world. But what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada never acted on that platform, that mundane, that material platform. Prabhupada was on the transcendental platform. He saw everyone servant of Krishna. Everyone is Krishna in their heart. Everyone is equal. Not this higher, lower. Just as he would say, if you're serving the deity on the altar, you can be dressing them. But the person sweeping the floor in the morning, he's also performing the same transcendental devotional service. So Prabhupada saw everything equal situation. And that's what he said to him. If you're affected, this is the word I picked over and over, unaffected. He said, if you're affected by it, then you're no better than they are. Because a devotee is not looking for honor, not interested in prestige, not interested in big, big income, not interested in where he gets to stand in the temple room. This is my spot. This is not your spot. And if we're not on that platform, very easy to understand, we're not on transcendental platform. There was another time on the airplane. In those days, in the 60s and the 70s, smoking is very different now. Yeah, we would be in rooms, smoke-filled rooms. Everyone was smoking. And it was in South Africa. South Africa, they were football players, soccer football players, so very big popular men. So they were all gathered together in one section of the plane. It was no smoking section. They had smoking section, no smoking section. So they were being rowdy, they were drinking, smoking. Prabhupada's secretary, he became very upset. He didn't want Prabhupada affected by this secondhand smoke, as we call it, secondhand smoke. So he said to the stewardess, please tell them there's smoking. Tell them not to smoke. You know, this is not smoking section. So she did that. She went to them and said something. And 20 minutes later, again, they're talking, smoking. And Prabhupada, he's just sitting there, he's handing his bead bag, he's chanting. He's transcendental. The secretary is becoming very agitated. Of course, in his mind, he's thinking he's agitated. He wants to take care of his spiritual master, make it pleasant for him. But he himself was agitated. So now he was going to go up himself and tell them, put out your cigarettes. And Prabhupada sitting there could see his agitation. He said the same thing that he said to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. If you're disturbed, if you're agitated, you're no better than they are. One has to rise, has to bring themselves to that transcendental position. Prabhupada, as he said to one of his disciples in a letter, way back 1970, there wasn't a time that I was not thinking about Krishna. Everything. Prabhupada taught us so much. We have this time of the year around here, especially if you go in the MVT gardens, you'll have the jasmine flowers, one of the most fragrant flowers. Right in front of where I stay, upstairs, down on the ground there, there's a night jasmine. So in the evening after the sun goes down, you can smell everywhere, you'll smell that fragrance of the jasmine, such a nice fragrance. And I would bring, in Los Angeles, these bushes were there. And I would bring Prabhupada a little sprig, break off a piece of the jasmine. When I would go into his room for evening massage, he would sit down, lay down, and he would put it right by his nose. I'd be massaging his legs, he'd be lying on his back. I'd be massaging his legs, massaging his feet, squeezing. And his head would be sideways. Every breath he took, he was smelling the jasmine. And as I was massaging, he just said, "This is Krishna. This is devotee. He sees Krishna everywhere. He's never disturbed because he's always with Krishna. He's always happily engaged in his devotional service." It was right here in the guest house, 1975. The person up there, you see that person's name up there, Guru Kripa. Everything, forego everything, he collected for Srila Prabhupada and he gave him the money. He had trouble with other devotees. Cooperation, we heard that this morning. What did Srila Prabhupada say in that letter this morning? "You're all limbs of my body. ISKCON." We say that. Even now people say, "Oh, well, that was then, this is now, everything's different." Nothing is different. Prabhupada's teachings haven't changed. Our position with Srila Prabhupada hasn't changed. Prabhupada created this society. Look at so many tens of thousands of people every day coming to this temple. This was all done by Srila Prabhupada. This was his life. And he asked us to cooperate. He got a letter, some ladies, very advanced devotees. They're also having difficulty. Sometimes cooperation is not easy. It can be very difficult. We're all different. We all have different natures. We're all affected by the modes of material nature. But we have to practice what it means to be transcendental. And Prabhupada told them, "This person offended me, they did this, they did that." He said, "Simply you offer obeisances to one another, finished. You go forward." I often mention how Srila Prabhupada, his position as spiritual master, was to train us. He said, "My service is to chastise you." He said, "But it's not out of anger." He's not controlled by these anger, greed. He said, "It's to chastise you, to bring you up." Out of love, the chastisement was there. We, of course, have to be very careful in our chastisement, that it comes from the proper place. But he said, "You offer obeisances, finished." And I would say, when Prabhupada would chastise me, something I did, he would never bring it up again. Of course, there were many times he could chastise me about something else that was also there. But he never looked back. Said, you remember 5 years ago, you did this, again you're doing. No, never made you feel guilty. Always just trying to elevate. This is devotee. So many ways, Prabhupada would say, when you're like this, then you can understand you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. You saw it, just seeing that bug there. I had to do something. I couldn't close the book. This little worm, inchworm. He's somewhere here. In Los Angeles, Prabhupada called me in his room in the afternoon. Had a white tile floor. And the ladies, they would be cleaning. Prabhupada would be on his morning walk. So many men, sannyasis, temple presidents, book distributors. Very rarely you would see ladies there. But they were all back at the temple, doing pujari service, cooking in the kitchen, and the fortunate group cleaning Prabhupada's room. So the floor was, every day the floor would be mopped, swept, mopped, and shined. Every day. So it was very, very shiny, white floor. In the afternoon he called me into his room. And I offered obeisances, I always did, and he'd be sitting behind his desk. Sometimes his feet, they'd peek out under the table. He had his feet out, sometimes cross-legged. Sometimes you offer obeisances and you would just see the bottoms of his pinkish feet, lotus feet. And I offer obeisances that I sit up. He's waiting for me to sit up. Do you see that? I can't see anything. Do you see right there? Prabhupada, he could see so many things. Yeah? We know he would describe in kirtans, he would see transcendental personalities there. I couldn't see. He said, there, a bug. So there was the bug. Tiny little black right there. He said, I've been watching it for hours. It hasn't moved. He said, take it. He told me in his bedroom, there's little Jagannath deities were in his bedroom. He said, you get a flower from Lord Jagannath. You put him on the flower and take the flower outside, put it in my garden. This is pure devotee. To want to save the whole world. Vishal would say, huh? Every day when Prabhupada would walk out of his room for the morning walk, we're all offering obeisances. And Vishal, no Vishal, he left last year, sometime last year, distributing books right up until the day before he left, distributing Prabhupada's books. It wasn't just for himself. He wasn't interested in making money distributing books. He was giving the money to those sitting out front. Sometimes the widows sit out front there. He would regularly give donations to them. But he always wanted to distribute Prabhupada's books. Because when Prabhupada would come out of the room, he would say, Savior of the whole world, Srila Prabhupada. We hear that. Savior of the whole world. Huh? Navayogendra Swami. When he says the mantras in them, Savior of the whole world, Srila Prabhupada, the pure devotee, their only interest is to save everyone, all living entities, not just those on two legs, huh? Four-legged ones, thousand-legged ones, no-legged ones, whatever, Savior of the whole world. But Prabhupada, in his humor, one day when he said it, Vishal said, Savior the whole world. Prabhupada said, do something practical. Not just glorify me. Glorify me by your service. This is the business of devotee. So he gave us the prescription how to do that. And of course, at the end of that one purport, Prabhupada quotes from ninth canto, text 30. We also have to be very careful how we understand that. And Prabhupada, he would quote Christianity, the Christian religion, how Jesus accepted all your sins, but not that you go on sinning over and over. I was raised Catholic. That was our business. We had every week back in those days, in the early days, in the 50s, every week, Saturday, you would go to confession. You would think of what you did wrong, huh? How you were affected by the modes of material nature. And you would tell the priest, he was in the center. It's like you see back there, there were little rooms on each side, just for one person. You would sit down there, and he would slide open this thing. And it was like a screen. So he could see you a little bit. You could see him. So always we'd be filled with guilt. I did this, I did that. I took the Lord's name in vain. I stole something. I did this. And then he would give you penance. Say three Hail Marys, two Our Fathers. And then you were cleansed. And then again next week you went back in. Same thing. I've done this, I did that. I didn't do what I was supposed to. And again he'd give you more penance. Say this prayer, say that prayer, and you'd leave. Prabhupada said, this nonsense program. So in that way, even this verse, nonsense to think over and over and over again, you do the same thing and you'll be forgiven. One of my godbrothers asked a question in a Facebook disciple conference, Prabhupada disciple conference. There's almost 1,000 devotees on it. And out of 1,000, maybe 5 people say something on there, ask questions on there. Sometimes if it's interesting, it will grow to 20 people or so will get involved. But he said, did Prabhupada ever annul an initiation of his disciple? You all know annul, just like you have a marriage. Sometimes it can be annulled. It means it like it never happened. It disappears. So this devotee said, did Prabhupada ever annul an initiation? I didn't respond. Other people responded with different understandings. None of them directly said yes or no. They gave an example. Prabhupada said, you can read in his books, Prabhupada said, someone long hair, beard, they're not my disciple. Even your initiated disciple. He said, you're not my disciple. But annulment was never there. Still never there with Srila Prabhupada. As he said, I sign your ever well-wisher. We can annul initiation. We can take that step. Leave Srila Prabhupada as his initiated disciple. Most of us know the one case of his Sanskrit editor. He asked for another guru. There's different things Prabhupada said. What was Prabhupada's response? You can go to hell. Take thousands of births. So many things. But I can tell you, if that same devotee came back to Srila Prabhupada, asked for forgiveness, Prabhupada would take him back. I saw it in 1973, one of his disciples came to India early, 1971, and he took shelter in one of Prabhupada's godbrother's ashrams. And that godbrother, Prabhupada's godbrother, gave him sannyas. Then Prabhupada came to Mayapur later on, and he came back. Asked Prabhupada for forgiveness. He wanted to come back to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada immediately took him back. This is pure devotee. No false ego. No, you left me forever. I want nothing to do with you. Even he could say that. Tamal Krishna asked Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this devotee, he keeps taking your money, spending it on this, doing this, doing that, he's not following. He said, you always take him back. Always your mercy is there. How many times? Once, twice, three times you've done it. Prabhupada said, this Vaishnava, never, no eternal damnation. I learned that also in Catholic school. Eternally damned. You go to hell forever. Never get out of there. That's not Vaishnava philosophy. Supreme Lord is supremely forgiving. We're all His children. And the pure devotee understands that. Prabhupada speaks very clearly here. And service, never forgotten. Never forget what service you've done. I was able to see so many examples. I'm an example myself. How can I be here? 52 years. I was initiated July 22nd. It's a few days away. 52 years ago. My activities, I was going to say progress, but no progress. My activities looks like the stock market chart, like this, zigzagging, up, down, up, down, up, down. But somehow or other, after all this time, I'm here. And I'm here, I could feel very guilty. I have no business being in a temple. No business entering these sacred walls. But I do understand Prabhupada's compassion. I've seen it every day. Saw it with his own eyes every day. His compassion. Therefore I can be here. And all of us can be here despite the fact that we're always looking for honor, prestige, nice place to live, the special seat at the prasadam table. I'm not being recognized. Why am I not recognized? Senior devotee. In our society, sometimes they introduce, there's senior devotees, then there's very senior devotees. What is a senior? We're all in the same position. Our only fortune is we're able to do devotional service. Read what Prabhupada has said. This is why I always said, read his books. The words, in one moment he can say, insignificant beggar. He doesn't say, I'm a very wonderful devotee. I came to the U.S. to conquer this Western world and give Krishna to everyone. That mood is there. He said, we don't call ourselves devotees. We can say, I'm servant. That's okay. Servant of Krishna. But not I'm big, big devotee. All insignificant. So that humility, genuine humility, only comes when you understand Krishna, creator of everything. And he can come to this world and carry out these pastimes. Every day we're reading of his pastimes in Vrindavan. But not like us doing these things. Completely transcendental. Everything he does is good. Prabhupada said, from the front side he's good, from the back side it's good. Doesn't matter. Everything he does, transcendental. A pure devotee, same thing. Everything he does. As he said, he may be acting within this world, but he's not part of it. In the early days, so many wonderful times at the airports. This was a time we were able to see Prabhupada acting outside in the material world, not within his temple. Temple, we would always see regular program. We know Prabhupada translating in the morning, going on his morning walk, coming back, greeting the deities, gave class, very, very regulated. That's also part of being unaffected. Like I said, he called this Guru Kripa. 1 o'clock in the morning, rings his bell. Servant has to get up. Go get Guru Kripa. So we have to go to the guest house up, knock on the door. What is he doing? He's sleeping. We're all sleeping. The Guru Kripa comes down. We offer our obeisances to Prabhupada. Prabhupada looks at him. What are you doing? 1 o'clock in the morning. Rest. Taking rest. We don't sleep, we take rest. Taking rest, Prabhupada. Why? He says, I'm not resting. I'm here, I'm translating Srimad Bhagavatam. Guru Kripa says, Prabhupada, you're a Paramahamsa. It's a very good answer. You're a Paramahamsa. Prabhupada said, why aren't you a Paramahamsa? Go take rest. Go on. Go back, take rest. Even you could go take rest. You can no longer take rest. Prabhupada would do that with us. He would wake us up sometimes in the afternoon after big, big lunch prasadam. He always knew when we were sleeping. He knew. We'd ring the bell. I'd go in. I know you're in trouble. When Prabhupada rings the bell like that, you're in trouble. Offering obeisances. Trying to work your eye muscles so your eyes look awake. He's yelling. You're sleeping like dead men. No sleeping like dead men. He said, everybody's working very hard. Take care of their families, working for their sex life. Oh, devotees are sleeping very comfortably. You have pride. You smash your pride so quickly. Many times he smashed my pride. Right here in Vrindavan. I was very proud being Prabhupada's servant. Initially. Sometimes it would come in, sometimes you're not there. Because he'd smash you, realize you're useless, but I'm giving you some service. That's your good fortune. I told you, right? Kartik. Big first Kartik festival in Vrindavan. 40 devotees. It's more than that here. 40 devotees, all from the West, Europe and America. One or two Indian-bodied devotees would be there. And oh, I have the recorder on. I'm recording Prabhupada. I see myself amongst everyone thinking, my service is a very wonderful service. I can do this service. Servant of the Guru. I'm recording the lecture and I'm fanning Prabhupada. You see during Guru Puja. Any situation, one becomes proud. Sometimes you're doing the artik. Devotees left and right, chamara, peacock fan. Someone's asking for the fan. No, I'm fanning Prabhupada. Leave me alone. Oblivious to anything going on around them. I was oblivious to anything. And I'm fanning Prabhupada so nicely, 5 in the afternoon, in this room, and there's rented speakers blaring, and the birds, parrots, pretty green parrots, making their noises, and the monkeys jumping in the trees. Everyone's getting ready for the evening. But the flies were there, and I'm using a chamara fan. There's a whole purpose of that fan, to keep the flies away. But I'm fanning him like an artik ceremony, because I'm Prabhupada's personal servant. I can do this. Not you. None of you. Me doing fanning so nicely. And there's a fly right there. Even I see it, I'm oblivious. That's what pride does. You don't see anything except your own greatness. How great am I? And I'm fanning and fanning. Prabhupada's speaking. And right in the middle of a sentence, get someone up here with some intelligence. I froze. And this boy came up, a brahmachari. I always say, eccentric, very eccentric, tall, tall brahmachari from England. He grabbed the fan right out of my hand. In a moment, 1/10,000th part the tip of a hair. In one moment, in front of everyone, chastised me. And this wild devotee, he grabbed the fan and he's flinging it around. I went back to the seat. Still, I have pride. Still a little pride. I start playing with the dials on the dictaphone, not the dictaphone, the tape recorder, to make sure I have some worth. Still, pride was there. And I'm watching Prabhupada, and he's speaking again. Never missed a beat. Just kept speaking. And this devotee's, and I'm thinking, oh, crazy devotee. And Prabhupada looked at him and smiled and went. Then I got smaller. Smashed me. Nothing better than getting smashed. We should all be very happy when we get smashed. You can only get smashed if you have some false ego there. Without false ego, you already know you're insignificant beggar, worm in stool. Where do all these come from? These come from devotees, the pure devotees that understand their position. And all they can do is glorify the personality of Godhead. This is our position. And then walking back to Prabhupada's room, pride was no more. I wasn't standing next to Prabhupada walking back to his room. I was like 3-4 steps behind. I could barely move. He smashed me so nicely. And a godbrother comes up and said, oh, Shruta, you're so fortunate. And I thought, yeah. But that you remember. So much time I was with Prabhupada, I forget everything. But I remember when he called me Malecha. I remember when he smashed my pride. You Malecha. He said, you do everything so nicely in his little servant quarters, the kitchen area. He said, and you leave this garbage there. You Malecha. It wasn't garbage, it was Prabhupada's orange peels. It was, to me, it was, but Prabhupada was making a point in service. Everything first class, because we're serving the pure devotee. We're serving Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to learn to become unaffected. When you're bothered by these things, you're not given respect. You can understand you have a long way to go. We're still at the beginning. Not interested in these things. I just want to do service. This is devotee. So we'll stop here. Anyone has any questions, comments, suggestions? Kamala Mataji.
This is not happening one time, maybe two times, three times, four times, five times. So what is our situation in that respect? How shall we react? We are not in the Prabhupada's position, we are not in the guru position, we are just in a very develop each other as interacting with devotees. So we have some understanding and they don't have that understanding, or there is a misunderstanding between each other. I understand that we have to go to the authority, we have to clarify that. But again, after going to the authority and clarifying, again, this is happening and happening. How do you, would you please just advise?
Very good question. You know, things aren't very different than they were within ISKCON long time ago, even back in the 70s. That same difficulty, disagreements were there as well. People would come to Prabhupada, this person's like this, this is like this. One thing, as I said with those examples with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and the secretary, is devotee learns also tolerance. As a manager, your manager, you have to become very tolerant. Somehow or other, engage everyone. Differences are always there. Prabhupada said it, everyone has difference of opinion because we're all individuals. But he said that those opinions always come together in service to Krishna. Sometimes you go to the higher authority to help, but like you say, it will go on over and over and over. So what to do? What do we do? What do we do, Dharma? We chant Hare Krishna. We pray to Krishna. He's our only resource. He's teaching us how to become more tolerant. It's not easy. You know, I was in, before coming here, my wife and I, we were in Hawaii for 5 years. Hawaii, ISKCON Hawaii is, has a reputation within the United States. It has a reputation as a place that sometimes sannyasis, GBC, they won't even go there because of its reputation of being a very difficult temple. We had trouble some 5 years ago getting a GBC. The one retired, the one before him retired. Very, very difficult. So finally now we have a GBC there. And when I was in Hawaii, most beautiful place in the world, Prabhupada said, heaven on earth. He said, if there's heaven on earth, it's in Hawaii. It's like that. I would say, I had a thing I would say, I was manager there, temple president, I would say, it's the only temple you have to leave and you go to the rainforest to go to Vaikuntha. Because when you're in the temple, everyone's fighting one another. Literally, sometimes physical fights, right in the temple. So much disagreement was there. So when we came here, I thought, well, come to Vrindavan. Vrindavan, most transcendental place in the world. And now I think Hawaii, those problems were small in Hawaii. You want to see difficulty, just stay here in Vrindavan for some time. Nothing but difficulty. Everyone, and how many gurus do we have here? There's probably disciples of 20 different spiritual masters here. Talk about differences of opinion. Everyone has their own idea of how to do service. And somehow, that's why more and more I appreciate our temple president here, how he stayed here through so many difficulties to remain determined, detached, forgiving, tolerant. You have to take shelter. The only shelter is the holy name, Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada would say, all the differences, they are dispersed in kirtan. And you're going to find people that have the most difficulties, they're not dancing in the kirtan. I see you dancing in the kirtan. Because this is how we relieve ourselves from being in this material world where everyone is troubled by these modes of nature. everyone's disturbed by them, even in its transcendental place. The pure devotee, everywhere he goes, it's Vrindavan. That's what it means. It means everywhere he goes, it doesn't matter. He's just serving and he's tolerating. In the airport, I was saying, when so many devotees were there, Prabhupada was there, and they're sitting in chairs. Prabhupada's in a chair, other devotees are in chairs, some are sitting on the floor. And Rupa Nuga's, you know, announcement was made, the flight, everyone has to go on the flight now. So Rupa Nuga makes an announcement in loud voice. All the devotees that are traveling now have to get up and get in line for the flight. Prabhupada was the first one to get up. He didn't feel, he was just a devotee along with everyone else sitting in the chair. He didn't see himself, I'm the big, I can wait to the end, they're going to put me in the front. No, he got up. Rupa Nuga said, Prabhupada, you can stay, you can sit down. He said, well, I'm not a devotee. This is devotee. I always say I love hearing classes sometimes when you hear Prabhupada's voice repeating the sloka with everyone else. One of the sweetest things I hear, I could listen to it all day, is when Govindam prayers are going on. And at the end you hear Prabhupada's voice chanting with the devotees. Devotee sees, I know better than anyone. I'm the lowest. As Prabhupada would say, no, I'm fifth class. As soon as someone would challenge him, he would take the humble position. How do you defeat someone? By taking the humble position, it can do so much more than taking the high position. You listen to me, I'm in charge here. The story of Prabhupada was complaining in his room, it was dusty. And it's one of the people there that came said, well, Prabhupada, it's Vrindavan dust. Oh, yes. Right? Then Prabhupada agreed, yes. So anyone can take instruction. Prabhupada would ask this in the last class I took so many times. He would ask advice, how to do like this, how to do like that. You can accomplish so much by being humble, by taking the humble position, by taking tolerance. Person may or may not respond to it, but you're showing, you're giving an example of how a devotee is. At the same time, Prabhupada said our society should be run like military. So when people come, they should be trained properly what to do in the temple, what my service is in the temple, how I should have respect for everyone, how I should respect authority. These things are there. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.